So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had it read, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go now back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Heavenly Father, we just ask for the next few moments. You take over this vessel, this servant. You speak the words. Open all of our ears and our hearts to what you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The new disciples and converts were excited because of the report they got. And the report was that it was everything we've talked about. It was about the relaxing on some of the things of the law, like circumcision, how we ate, were two primary areas. And then there was also some bringing back to the people the need for maintaining sexually pure, not to enter into sexual immorality. But that was a good report for the people, and they were excited about it. They liked the direction that they were going. You ever get a good report? And you just get lit up and excited about a good report of things to come? I mean, everything in the report was what you wanted and what was in your favor and what was you saw as right and good. I want you to imagine being in a church where there's a divisive thing that comes about in a church, and when it all gets worked out, the church gets together in one accord on the right thing. I want you to imagine that and how good that feels, that we've come together in agreement on something. Wouldn't that feel good? You know, in this church, we have so many different kinds of people in this church. Can I say that? Can I say kinds? Okay. We have, I'll tell you the big difference. We have males and we have females. You know what? Our church has that. It's pretty cool. We have black and we have white. You know we have that? It's exciting. We have Native American and Filipino in this church. Can I say all these things, or have I stepped over a line? It's okay to say that? All right. We have boys and girls. We have babies. We have people with wealth and means, and we have people with very little. Is it okay to say those things? That's good. We have people that tend to be politically on the left side of the aisle, but we have people that tend to be politically on the right side of the aisle. Do you think that's accurate and fair? And all the Republicans said, no, it's not. I'm just messing. I tend to be on the Republican side, so I'm giving myself a shot. But when even there, when they come into agreement on something, it feels good. And that's what's going on here with this new church. They're in agreement on something that they all knew was wrong. And they came to a place of agreement, and it made sense, and it seemed right because God was in it. And so they were rejoicing. Do you know that we get to rejoice, but sometimes it's only for a short period of time? That's what's going to happen here. They're in rejoicing for a short period of time. I've had things where we've had differences. We've had differences. They've been out here, and all of a sudden we work it through, and all of a sudden, before you know it, we're together. And it feels so good. And then you know what happens after it feels so good? The next issue comes up. The next issue that you have to tread through, and you have to work through, and you have to go to war through. Not really go to war, it's a strong word, but you have to fight for it. Things that you believe are right. That's where they're going. So the people, this is verse 31, read it and were glad for its encouraging message. I love an encouraging message. One that lifts up and edifies. That's what the church is supposed to do. That's what the pastor is supposed to do. I'm not really supposed to beat you up so bad that you leave here bloody and broken and dreading next week. You should be leaving, ready to go do what God has asked you to do because you're so excited about Him speaking. Him in the service. I could leave right now and just feel great because the worship was so incredibly amazing. So what's the purpose of the worship? One, purpose of the worship is to give glory to God. That's the first and primary purpose. Second, I believe, is to prepare you for His Word. To receive it, that your heart would be open to receive His Word. When we're open to receive His Word, we do. When we're not, we resist. That's going to happen here as well. So we're just like the church in the Old Testament. In a lot of ways. And it says in verse 33, after spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with blessing and peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. So they are acting right now as disciple makers. All right? That's what Paul and Barnabas are doing. They remained in Antioch to teach and train up. They were acting as pastors, they were acting as teachers, and they were acting really as disciple makers. They were about the Great Commission, where it says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Not just go and preach, there's a place for that. Not go just evangelize, there's a place for that. But in this instance, they're operating as disciple makers. They're making disciples. What I'm doing right here is a light form of discipleship making. Honestly, I am preaching God's word to you that you would take it and receive it and grow from it. That eventually you would have something within you that says, you know, he really doesn't think it's anything that difficult. Like everything he said, I could do that. When you get to that point, that's cool. When you get to the next point, you actually step and do some of the things that are going on up here, then something's happened. Then there's something special. Why am I so excited about Wednesday nights? Because Wednesday night is person after person after person doing what they learned to do. What they saw a pastor do. What they saw Pastor Jerry do. What they saw Pastor Jim do. What I'm doing now. And they're preaching the word, and it is so amazing and so powerful. How about the 29-year-old? Roger. Why did I have him stand up? One, I just flat out love the guy. He's going to take me fishing. We're going to do some golf. I'm going to beat him in both. It's going to be a great day. But he's going to share his story, or he's going to teach in front of a bunch of people that desperately need to hear what he has to say. Did you ever do that before, Roger? Did you ever teach like that? No. I'm excited for you. God will take care of the rest, but I'm excited because you grew. And that's what Paul and Barnabas are doing right here, right now, at this moment. But remember what I said. It feels good now, but stuff is coming. I'm anxious to get to the stuff. Stuff starts in verse 36. It says, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. So they preached the word of the Lord. And if you were there on a Wednesday night, you would have heard Pastor James referring back to a teaching that somebody was doing on they went back to the place where they got beat up. They're going back to the place where Paul was stoned and left for dead. That's where they're going back to. Not many people go back to that place. I'm probably first and foremost to not go back to that place. I'm going to do an end around and speak from the back of the crowd so they're not looking at me or something. I don't know. But that's pretty incredible. And they want to go back there. What do they want to go back there and do? They want to go see how they're doing, what needs to be done. They're going there to encourage. And for Barnabas, Encouraging is like his second, that's his nature. His name means son of encouragement. And he's wired for that. Paul, he's got a purpose and a plan and a vision, and he's going to exercise it. He's missional. And this is the setup for their second missionary journey. Verse 37 says, Barnabas wanted to take John also, called Mark, with them. Okay, this is the first viewpoint. So I'm going to give you a couple viewpoints here. First viewpoint is that Barnabas wants to take John Mark with him on this trip. But there's a problem. Here's the problem. Verse 36 says, I'm sorry, I'm going to go down to verse 37. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. And then verse 38 says, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. Oh, I so know how this works. One guy, the encourager, it says in Acts chapter 4, I think, it says 14, he is an encourager. He's the son of encouragement, and he wants to go and encourage his nephew to come to this place where they're going to do this mission work. Paul's not too happy about it. Why? Because on their first missionary journey, the same guy let him down. When it got really rough, John Mark said, I'm done with this and I'm out of here. And so Paul is like, he is missional. And that kind of behavior doesn't help the mission. Barnabas is an encourager. Oh, he'll be fine. We'll coach him along. No, baloney. You know, hurt me once, shame on me. Or you hurt me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to be an idiot and take this guy that's going to let me down again when they start chucking rocks at me. That's really what's going through his head. I believe at some level. But the big thing is, he is so missional and so focused, and he's not going to be distracted or detoured from this mission. Barnabas is about love. The reason why Paul is even there in the first place is because Barnabas loved Paul to share him with the other apostles who had nothing to do with him because he was out slaughtering Christians before. If you're new here, I probably just messed up everything you had about theology, and I'm so sorry, but hang around us a little while and you'll get it. You'll get it. Comes in bites sometimes. First view was to take him. The second view was to not take him. So here's what Paul was thinking about the ministry. He had a big picture in his mind. He was an evangelist. He was thinking about the fact that they were about to leave on another missionary trip. They were going into uncharted territory to take the gospel to lost people. He's really thinking this is no place for anybody soft. They were going into uncharted area, right? They were going into the mountain regions. There's bandits in the mountains. He doesn't need weakness to come with him into that place. When it gets tough, this guy might leave. They were going to places where they'd face death every day. Can you imagine doing ministry where you are going to face death every day? This is of another level. I have a hard time sometimes going to the places where I'm going to face ridicule. I have a hard time going to the places where they're going to look at me funny. I'm serious. I feel those things and I don't like it. I got about three things I shouldn't say. Because they'll put me in a really bad light. They would face opposition, persecution, hardship, and sickness. And Paul knew that there was no place for a quitter on a trip like that. Wow. Paul focused on the people he was trying to reach. He couldn't take the risk of having John Mark walk out on him again. He needed someone he could depend on completely. I don't work that way. I used to work that way, or I tried to work that way. It just didn't work that way, the way I wanted it to work. I wanted to be, like, strong and definitive and say, you blew it, you're done. I found out I didn't have the stuff to say, you blew it. I could say that easy enough. But to say you're done, I could never say that. I couldn't go to that place. I always felt it was a weakness. I'm learning, for me, it's a strength. I'm not supposed to say you're done. I'm supposed to say you're not done yet. You know what I mean? You're not quite done yet. You're not ready yet to go. You have to do something else. That's how I think God has wired me. But don't you kind of want to be like Paul? I'm going to where the bandits are. I'm going to knock them out with the word of God. I'm going to go down to the cities where they're fighting against everything that I preached to them the first time. I want to go there. And I'm going to lay the word to them. I wanted that kind of strength. I just didn't get it. I didn't get any height either. I didn't get the 6'7" I always wanted. Life is tough, isn't it? So they come to this big disagreement. And it says in verse 39, they had a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. So here's two believers. Let me tell you just a little bit as a reminder about these two believers. One, before he became a believer, was a Christ killer. He was forgiven, and he was forgiven much. And so he was required of much. And consequently, he loved much the one that poured out grace upon him. That's Paul. The other was a solid rock of a man of God, who had compassion and could see the potential in a man or a woman, speak life into that man or woman to grow them the place that God has called them to be. I am not saying one is wrong and the other is right. I'm saying God uses all kinds of different people. And he uses both, Barnabas and Paul. Yet they're having this dispute, and this dispute was so significant, it caused them to separate and go two different ways. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you not to do. Because you have a gripe with somebody in the church, that's not a reason to pack up and go. Okay? I'm just saying, it's not a reason. I know we have men, and I know we have women. It's no reason to pack up and go. We see things differently. And I know we have wealthy and we have poor. Not a reason to leave. I know we have black, white, native, and we even have some Hmong in here. We need more Hmong. But when they come, don't pack up and go. Because, you know, I lived next to a Hmong guy one time, and he gave me some grief, and no. We don't leave over stuff. We unite on the thing that matters. It's Christ and him crucified. Him died. Him resurrected. Him ascended to the Father, praying for you and me that we could do what? Get along. That's what he's doing. He's praying that we could just love each other the way him and the Father love themselves. That's what he's asking of us. So all these differences that we have are not things that we divide over. Does the church do that? Sure does. All you got to do is get the phone book out. Do they still have phone books? I think they do because I got a soggy one that's been in my lawn for most of this winter. And if you go look at the different churches, you'll see different churches, different denominations. How did that happen when it all began as one church? There was a lot of dividing going on. A lot of separating. Some of it is over nonsense. Some of it is over significant things. I get that. But there's division happening all over. But the body of Christ is not meant to be divided. The body of Christ is to be the body of Christ. I need the hands. I need the feet. I need the eyes. I need a man who comes up here and worships different than I do. I need a man who comes up and prays a little bit more different than I do because other people receive it better. I need to hear the prayer of a woman. The prayer of a woman who goes to places spiritually that I haven't matured to that place yet spiritually. I need them to pray. I need Pastor Tracy to pray all the time. I need my wife Sally to be praying over our family. When I have a bad dream, which that's actually a spiritual thing, not like I'm scared of things going bump in the night, but I have bad dreams. And it's scary things because it concerns my family. I need a wife who's going to pray at a level that, wow, I wish I could get that level. I can. That's what I need. That's what the church needs. Of all these different things, it's one body operating together. That's what the church is supposed to be. So now there's churches splitting all over the place. And we have all kinds of different names to what kind of a church we are. What needs to happen is we need to love those churches. We need to pray for those different churches. And if they're churches that don't believe in the name of Jesus, we need to pray that God gets a hold of them. But the ones who lift up the name of Jesus, we have to be about encouragement of those churches. I meet with it used to be all AG pastors, but now it's whittled down to five of them are AG pastors. And then a couple others are not. They're non-denominational. One is a real strength and flowing in the Holy Spirit. The other ones, well, they're supposed to have a faith and flowing in the Holy Spirit, but they're different. Some are deep into God's Word. Pastor Donnie meets with a whole bunch of pastors, and there's some that just go deep into God's Word. You know what? We need all of that. So we need to pray that God blesses each of those different churches. Brother, I pray for the church that God's leading you to, that it thrive and that it prosper, and that you be encouraged as you go out into that mission. You not get discouraged. I pray for that in Jesus' name. And that's the tone that we should be having with the different churches. So division happens because people are involved. But sometimes God allows it, that His purposes might still be accomplished. And I'm going to just bring this to a quick close. First, before I bring it to the close, I want to share how we ought to handle these disagreements as believers in Jesus. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." Can we do that? Verse 16 says, "Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." I love that. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask God for forgiveness when I haven't done that, but I love that. Verse 18 says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Don't let contentions get to the point where you disagree so sharply that you have to separate. Take your eyes off yourself a little bit and turn your eyes on their perspective. Did you even hear why they're coming from the position they're coming from? Did you get it? Probably not. If you're like me, you didn't get it because I'm thinking about the next thing I'm going to say. I'm going to slam this guy with this. Or that woman thinks she's going to tell me that. No. I need to listen and hear. By the way, we could do that in our marriages too, couldn't we? We can listen a little better because if there's a divisive spirit in the church, there's also a divisive spirit in our families. And by the way, the things that come up in our families, it's like I have a right to divide. I understand that. But we still need to hear what the other side is saying. Hear them. Respond back to them. Basic communication. Respond back to them what you heard. I just see it differently. And there's some really tough situations, aren't there? I mean, really hard things. But in the body of Christ, love comes first. Forgiveness comes next. And then communication should be happening all throughout. We have to be talking, not so quick to jump and leave. Ephesians 4:3 says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." That's what we should be about. Philippians 2:2 says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Colossians 3:13 says, you know where I'm just going to keep throwing these at you. "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also." Can you forgive people who have hurt you? It's a hard thing to ask, but it's what's needed to be done. One of the things, I love so many, but one of the things about Celebrate Recovery is we come to that place. And things get healed when I say, I forgive that person for what they've done to me. Yeah, if that person wasn't sorry, well, it doesn't matter. It's about me. In fact, God, I'm still not happy with that person, but I'm going to forgive them because you have asked me to forgive them. So I'm forgiving them because you desire that. And then I'm not done. Then he says, oh, by the way, he says, after you forgive them, can you now pray for your enemies? God knows. Well, I don't want to pray for them. It's not about what you want. Do that same thing you just did. You forgave them for me, now pray for them for me. Oh, Lord Jesus, you know all things. You know how I feel about that person. But because you've asked me to, I'm going to pray for that person. Jesus, bless them. Change their heart, change their mind, change their attitude to conform it to what you want. And you do that, you begin the process of forgiving them. You continue in the process of praying for them. And what happens? All of a sudden, you didn't see it coming, but now you care for them. Ugh! I care for that? Yes. And it's a beautiful thing. You now care for the person you couldn't stand because they hurt you before. And sometimes God is so sweet. He even extends this great... He gives us an accommodation. And sometimes they even come back and say, you know that thing I did to you? I am so sorry. And then you melt. Unity has taken place. If we could do that in the church, just in the church, it would change the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. What was the result? So the first thing was, they wanted to take John Mark, the other one didn't want it. So that was the first. First one to take him, second was the other one didn't want. The third issue was there was a disagreement. How did they work through their disagreement? I don't think they worked through it real well. They separated. They got angry and they separated. They sharply disagreed and separated. They didn't do the things I just shared with you. The worship team, if they could come up, it would be good. But what was the result of it? Here's where God, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. What happened? A team that was two men, Barnabas and Paul, now separate. Now it's Paul, Silas, and next week, we're going to talk about Timothy joining that mission excursion. And he'll be discipled by Paul. And then there's Barnabas and John Mark going to two different places. What did God allow to happen? He allowed a division because He was about His greater purpose. And remember, it's always about His purpose. So now He's sending a group to go on a second missionary journey for the purpose of discipleship and evangelism, because the two go hand in hand. I learned about this all in Nashville this week. Brand new information. No, it's not. It's the right information. They're going to evangelize and raise the church, build up and encourage, disciple the church. And Barnabas and John Mark are going to do the same thing. Paul is going to mentor and disciple Timothy. Barnabas is going to raise up and disciple John Mark in a really effective way. You know why? How I know? There's a gospel written by John Mark. He's the scribe for another man, but he scribes the gospel of Mark. That's a big deal. Timothy, letters are written about Timothy and to Timothy, because the discipling took root. So God took something that was bad, a division, and He used it for His purposes, and He'll do that in our lives. But we still have the responsibility of coming back and healing and restoration of those things that were divided. And here's what's really cool. After years, because the disagreement was sharp and the separation was sharp, a couple of things happened. In 2 Timothy 4:11, it says, "Only Luke is with me. Go," and this is Paul speaking, "go pick up John Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for my service. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." That's in Hebrews. So two things are happening here. But I'm going to give you just a little bit more. 1 Corinthians 9:6, it says, "Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working?" This scripture is speaking to 10 years after this division. And then the 3 years after that, in Colossians 4:10, it says, Aristarchus, "My fellow prisoner greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about who of you have received instructions. If he comes to welcome him, and Jesus, who is called Justice, there are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort for me." This is Paul speaking. So a couple things have happened. I'm just going to sum this up. Paul is now calling for John Mark in two different instances. One, he's calling for him because he needs his help from prison. And the other is John Mark brings comfort to him. All right. This is the guy who wasn't ready. So what was Paul's deal? He knew John Mark wasn't ready to go where he was going. But he was discipled. and he was raised up by Barnabas, and now he could be used for the kingdom of God. It says, I have need of him. When all others scatter away, he's there because he was raised up rightly. God will allow us to have our issues. It's not his plan and his desire that we have issues. His desire is that there's unity. Jesus is praying night and day before the Father. It says in John 17, basically, that we have what they have. But because we walk in this bag of flesh, sometimes we don't do what we're called to do. We make mistakes, but in it, all things do work together for good to those who are in him. And he will accomplish his purpose through them. If you're a person from another church because you've been hurt in another church, forgive who hurt you. Don't let it be something that keeps you apart in terms of the body of Christ. If you're thinking of going to another church because somebody offended you here, forgive the person that offended you. Forgive them. Because God's desire is for unity, not separating. And if that person leaves, forgive them for leaving. Bless them as they go. Because that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. We're in a town of a whole bunch of churches with a whole bunch of different names. That's what we have in this town. But we also have 100,000 plus in the Green Bay area, and then another 100,000 plus in the greater Green Bay area. Do you think all those churches can handle that many people? Not right now. There's plenty to go around. Pray for the other churches in this town who lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. Everything that's taking place with discipling, with raising up people to become strong in Christ, begins at a place where somebody comes to receive Christ. So I'll speak to you as an evangelist for about 2 seconds here. If you don't know who Jesus is, you don't know the gospel, you haven't received the gospel. When I use the word gospel, you don't even know what that is. The Bible says your eternity is secure, but it's not in heaven, it's in hell. That's a hard word. That's a hard, hard word to say. Because you don't know Christ, your eternity is in hell. It's a hard word, but it's a true word. His desire is that you have an eternity with him. That's salvation. And that just requires a couple things. One, that you believe that he paid a price that you were supposed to pay, and he can has the power to forgive your sin. That's the first thing. And to give him your sin. The second is, he requires lordship. Why? Because he's the sovereign God. And if he wasn't the sovereign God, he wouldn't be God at all. He is the all-powerful God. I worship him, and I submit to him. When I do that, I have salvation. And the Bible says a couple things. It says, I become a child of God. So I jump from being a dead man to royalty. Royalty of the kind that matters. Eternal, royally, his child. What do you have to do to receive it? You have to change your heart. That's what he says. We've been talking about circumcision. That's a fleshly thing that they're talking about. He's talking about circumcising your heart, changing your heart, opening it up to him. If you want to do that today, here's what it means. God, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. And I want that forgiveness that you give, because it's eternal. I want that. And the second part is, I now make you Lord of my life instead of me being Lord. Me being Lord got me into this predicament. But I want what you have for me. If you've never done that before, and you feel the Spirit of God convicting right now, it's touching your heart and saying, I want that. I want that assurance. I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand, and then we'll close this off in prayer. We'll pray with you together. Is there anybody who's never done that before and you want to do that today? I see your hand. I see that, miss. Anybody else? Okay, so keep that hand up. Somebody's going to come and they're going to give you a Bible. They're not going to freak you out. It'll be good. And they're going to pray with you. But we're going to pray with you right now. So if the whole congregation could pray with this young lady and this man that raised their hand for salvation. Dear Jesus, I know my need. I know that I'm a sinner. I am in need of forgiveness. Forgive my sin. Remove it from me. As far as the east is from the west. And remember it against me no more. And Lord Jesus, be my Lord. I give you that place in my life. Help me to follow you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You clap for those people and just... What you did this day is a big deal. The Bible says in heaven, there's a little celebration going on, and we don't even know what that is. It's just a big celebration. It's a big deal. Whenever somebody comes to Christ, it's a big deal. So we rejoice with that. Pastor Joel is going to lead us in a worship song, and then he'll close off in prayer. I want to encourage